any and every Bible student should understand in the Word of God, or from the Word of God, that any nation that is even discussing whether or not there are more than two genders is absolutely doomed. Let me say it again, that any nation who entertains the thought that there are more than two genders is absolutely doomed and under divine judgment. Someone just posted a meme of a man standing up with his hand raised. He says, "Raise your hand if you want your state in the United States to ban pride flags from children's classrooms." So in every child's classroom, or virtually many or all of them in the United States, they are actively promoting the homosexual, the sodomite agenda. And anybody who knows the Bible knows that Leviticus 18:22 tells us that homosexuality, sodomy, and lesbianism is an abomination to the Lord. Leviticus 18:22. In fact, Paul says that if a man is effeminate, he has effeminacy, he is also a hellbound sinner and an abomination to the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Anyone who thinks that America is or will ever be blessed without repentance, which would come with a complete change in our schools and across the board in America, that would have to come from God's people or those who claim to be God's people, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Again, if anybody thinks that America is going to be blessed or has a future of blessing and not cursing and judgment, is deceived, unless you believe that such can come through repentance, and that's the truth according to Jeremiah 18. Anyway, anybody who believes that America is going to be blessed and that they live in the land of the free and the home of the brave is at least extremely gullible, if not completely deceived, and has no biblical understanding of how God judges nations and why he judges nations. In the days of Noah, before the flood judgment of God in Genesis, we read in chapter 6, verse 5, that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:12, same chapter, verse 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." And this is why God judged what some believe is over a billion people living on planet earth at that time, and only 8 souls were saved out of a billion or more. Now, some would say that this is all rooted in that which claims to be the church in America, and I will not disagree with that. In fact, a good thing to ask proud Americans who also claim to be Christians would be, number one question, when's the last time you personally led someone to Jesus? That would be a good thing to ask. Now, we all know that even the pastors, the so-called pastors of today's modern church, don't even evangelize, much less lead anyone to Jesus. In fact, they can't do that because they've been studying a fake Bible that has removed the word repentance in many instances. When Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:3, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, said that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Scarcely can you hear the word repent in the modern church, much less to find someone who is preaching repentance as they preach the law to convict and the gospel of Christ. I mean, you just stop and ask yourself, how many people do you know that attend church every week? You and I probably know a lot of them, right? And then ask this question, how many of those good church attenders, those good church members, are evangelizing in their daily life? Guess what? It's probably zero, one or zero. And the one that is evangelizing won't be at that church long, because that's a cold, dead, apostate local church, as is the case with most of them. Another question we should ask concerning Christians, quote unquote, in America is, how much time and how much energy do you personally spend trying in vain to save America or make America great again? compared to the time and energy and money that you spend learning the Word of God, studying it, reading it profusely daily, and meditating upon the Word of God and doing the Great Commission. Jesus said this. First of all, Jesus sent you and I, if we name the name of Christ, we are to depart from iniquity, 2 Timothy 2:19, and all worldliness, and we are to do what? We are to be about our Father's business. That's what people who really follow Jesus are doing. Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And Jesus gave us that business when he gave us the Great Commission mandate. The commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. At the end of each of the four gospels, we have a unique version of the Great Commission. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. End of Matthew, Jesus said, go and teach all men all things I've taught you. That's why we have a Bible. In fact, Jesus earlier taught that this gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, shall be preached in all the world, and then the end is coming. Then he's going to return, as he said there also in the 24th chapter of Matthew. So if you want to look at who's walking with God, who's in obedience and abiding with Christ, you're going to see the people, the remnant, body of Christ, doing the Great Commission mandate of Jesus. We've been taught by fake pastors who are making merchandise of the people, 2 Peter 2:1-3, that attending church and giving to the church and becoming a member of the church is what is important. Mark and I just had an extensive fellowship, and we talked about when you go to these local churches, every one of us knows what they're going to do is they're going to teach you two or three things on every message. Every Sunday morning, they're going to teach you to attend church, number one. Number two, they're going to teach you to give to the church. And number three, they're going to teach you to become a member of the church. What they're not going to teach you is with Jesus. None of that, by the way, is essential. But Jesus gave an essential tenet of the Christian faith. You must deny yourself, take up your cross daily to follow Jesus. Luke 9:23-24. Also in the book of Mark and Matthew, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. But they're never going to mention this. And when you're denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus, you're being raised up, resurrected by Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, and you are doing the will of God. You are doing the commission that he gave you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the will of the Father is that you and I perform, we conduct, we execute, we obey the Great Commission that Jesus gave us to go and minister the gospel to the lost, to build up the saints with the Word of God and to Matthew, and also to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. If you, my friend, claim to be a Christian and you are not participating in the Great Commission Jesus mandated that we execute and carry out with the power of His Holy Ghost, you are not in the will of God. It doesn't matter if some pastor has somehow convinced you that you're in the will of God by just going to his church building on Sunday morning. According to Jesus, who you will be judged by, you are not in the will of God if you're not participating in the Great Commission he gave us. Now, how do you participate? Well, there's three ways, I believe, at least, that you can participate. Number one, through prayer. Jesus said that we're to pray to the Father, who is the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into his harvest. So we pray for the laborers to be sent, and then we fund those laborers. We provide, we supply them so that they can carry out this Great Commission. And number three, we can also and should all be distributing gospel tracts, preaching the gospel, communicating the gospel in one way or the other. There are many ways to do that on social media with printed tracts. You should be distributing gospel tracts to inform your fellow man that judgment is coming, that Jesus died for your sins, that you are a sinner, and you're either going to let him forgive you or you're going to pay for your own sins in hell forever. So are you doing the will of the Father? Jesus said that if you're not, you're not going to enter into his eternal kingdom. It doesn't matter how convinced you've been from your fake teachers, your fake false prophets, which Jesus said in the same chapter that many false false prophets are going to go out and they're going to deceive many in Matthew 24. It doesn't matter how convinced you've been made to believe that somehow you're in the will of God for attending because you attend a church service every Sunday. What has it ever produced? You're not even evangelizing. You're not even in the Word every day. So anyone claiming to be Christ and yet is not obeying the Great Commission command is not in the will of God. And Jesus said, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, according to Matthew 7:21. Now, a good prayer today might be for us to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, may your people cry out to you today for the souls of fallen men all around us for whom you sent your only begotten Son to die. May we be blessed to cry out for that which concerns you the most. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, saints, as God looks down from heaven, here's what he sees. Here's what breaks his holy heart. Proverbs 15:11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. In other words, he sees hell, which is in the middle of the earth, Matthew 12:40, etc. It's that molten mass, that fiery mass you learned about in science, but they didn't tell you that that's hell. That's where all lost souls go when they die. They are burning world without end, consciously forever. Hell and destruction, eternal destruction, which means you're never going to destruct. You're going to be burned eternally, but never destruct. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Proverbs 15:11. So God sees all of the children of men on earth that are lost, and he sent you and I to minister the gospel to them because they are on the edge of going off the cliff into hell the moment, the instant they die without him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. So is it true that the modern church is the reason for God's judgment on America? I'll leave that as a rhetorical question. Now, Mark 11:17, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. They're robbing God and they're robbing the people. That's Mark 11:17. Now, one writer notes the following on this verse, combining quotations from Isaiah and Jeremiah, Jesus condemned desecration, exclusivism, and commercialism. Remember, 2 Peter 2, they're making merchandise of the people. They're making a good living off of you, making you loyal to their church corporation, which is a 501c3, so that they can have a good living and live in a nice house, in many cases, in a gated community. But they're not perfecting the saints or maturing them and equipping them for the work of the ministry, which the Bible says is exactly what true elders in the Lord do. Ephesians 4:11-12, which says this, that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, gave gifts to men, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here's why those elders are within the body of Christ and to be operating according to God's word only is for the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the elders in the body of Christ that are operating in the fear of God and obeying God and are not false prophets, they are equipping the church, they are equipping the people that they minister to do the work of God, for the work of the ministry. That would be the Great Commission included for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the writer commenting on Mark 11:17, where he says that my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, a house that is set apart unto the Lord, that is, and ye have made it a den of thieves. He continues, he says, God had intended the temple to be a house of prayer for all nations, Isaiah 56:7, not just for Israel. They had made it a religious market, a hangout for shysters and racketeers, Jeremiah 7:11, unquote. And it's exactly what we see throughout Scripture when Jesus, for example, is turning over the tables and cracking the whip he made in Matthew 21 and John 2, cleansing his house, that which claims to be his house, that which claims to be his people, of these shysters, these false teachers and false prophets that we see exposed throughout Scripture, who are not equipping and sending out missionaries, evangelists, and helpers to accomplish the Great Commission. They are doing little more than perpetuating their own existence, corralling and exploiting the people for their own self-serving, greed-driven, and covetous gain. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jeremiah 23 is a great chapter to read concerning how wolves in sheep's clothing operate. So as we begin to say, any nation that finds its own church or the people claiming to be the church that are making merchandise of the people is allowing for the judgment of God throughout all of public life, which would include, but not be limited to, discussion of there being more than two genders. The fact that there's a discussion, a national discussion, and all the way to the local level of whether or not there's more than two genders flies in the face of God's creative design in the book of Genesis, where he says that he made man and woman. Verse 27, Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Amen. Male and female created he them. In fact, Jesus reiterates this in Matthew chapter 19 when he says the following, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's it, two genders. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they twain, those two, male and female, shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain or two, they're no more separate, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Okay, so we have a nation that we live in, the United States of America, that is not only flying in the face of the Almighty by saying there are more than two genders, we've also facilitated divorce. We are a land full of those who are a sinful generation, an evil and a sinful and adulterous generation. Matthew 12, 39, an evil and adulterous generation Jesus spoke of, an evil and adulterous generation. That's what we have. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 20, verse 14, but yet it's rampant in the United States of America, and so is divorce for no reason, no good reason at all in most cases. That's what the stats tell us. We also have and live in a nation where the gospel of repentance, it begins with repentance. That's the first word out of John the Baptist's mouth. That's the first word out of Jesus's mouth, and that's the first word on Pentecost that came out of Peter's mouth. But we are not preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of repentance that begins with repentance. And therefore, men aren't being saved into the kingdom of Christ. And judgment is cascading upon the land of America. And in my estimation, it is beyond repair because there's no repentance, no even acknowledgement of sin in that which is claiming to be the church in America. Now, one disciple writes the following. Fact, what the world celebrates, God hates. Fact, America as a nation will not be saved by God. Only individual souls and families can be saved with the short time we have left. And number three, fact, the reason society in America has been overrun by the rainbow mafia in corporate America and schools, and yes, even in the churches, is because this God-mocking, God-hating nation has been given over to the filth they love above the holy God who gave us life. Have a blessed day, unquote, a disciple. So America has sinned against God, refuses to repent, and God is allowing the invading armies of Islam and other evil entities from foreign invaders to eat it away like a cancer. And no president can stop his judgment upon America because God says that he's known by the judgment that he executes. Psalm 9, verse 16 and 17, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So all the nations that forget God, which is definitely what America is doing and has done for many, many decades and several generations. And to believe that America is not going to be judged and is not being judged, including with inflation, is to be biblically illiterate and gullible. Okay, and as we come in for a landing here, saints, remember Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, Matthew 24 speaks of. What was the days of Noah like? Genesis 6, violence and fornication, etc., rampant, unrepentant sin. Headlines today consist of men killing their own families. We've never seen this like we're seeing it now. Literally not a day goes by where we don't have a murder-suicide, and many times it's in an affluent neighborhood. Could that be because of inflation and men not trusting God? Yes, I believe so. Men killing their whole family and then committing suicide. This is a murder-suicide. We've never seen this so rampant as we're seeing it now. Teachers are now calling out parents due to the bad behavior of their children, which they refuse to train up in the right ways of the Lord. Proverbs 22, verse 6. We also see teen takeovers. It's black teen takeovers all over the United States. We also see landlords and tenants murdering each other. We see domestic violence skyrocketing. Fights are breaking out at youth baseball and football and basketball games. All-out brawls are happening throughout the nation, in the malls, on cruise ships, at high school and college graduations. Innumerable scandals with teachers in, quote, inappropriate relationships with children. We see prom party shootings. We see rental house party shootings. We've all seen the headlines. We see young men, like as in the case of the Frisco, Texas incident, where a 17-year-old man murdered another man for no good reason. And we see mobs of people defending that cold-blooded murder and trying to make an excuse for it. Unbelievable. Also, here's a literal headline I read recently. Quote, mom kills children herself after shooting at husband in Glendale. So the mother, can you imagine a mother being so degenerate and apostate from that which is right, murdering her own children, and that she murdered herself, and this was after she was shooting a weapon at her husband. Unbelievable. We now see teachers that are quitting their jobs, their careers, en masse. In other words, many of them across the board are quitting because of the unruliness of the children and the refusal of the school administrators to discipline and allow them to discipline those children. You think America's under judgment? You better believe it. Read the Old Testament, and you'll see exactly how judgment comes, as is from God, and comes as he lifts his hand of protection off of any nation that continues to rebel against him. We still have abortion on demand in America. Over 60 million precious babies have been murdered in cold blood in America, and some people are still thinking that America is going to be blessed by God. All the while, the cascading judgments that we're talking about, and this is only a sampling, are falling upon America. People are living in their cars. They're living in storage units. They're having to move out of the country, which I believe, and we're going to finish with that in a minute, is a great idea. People who have been arrested dozens of times still walk free. We all know how that goes with these judges. That's judgment on America, where we're not condemning the wicked. We're not punishing them accordingly, which is the divine ordination that is to be executed by civil authorities. There's a complete breakdown of justice in the so-called justice system. The Bible says that if you justify the wicked, you do not punish them commensurately with their crime. And or if you condemn the just, we got innocent people in jail, folks. Even they both are an abomination. Anybody who justifies or defends the wicked, like many who justified and defended Carmelo Anthony, who is a cold-blooded murderer, period, is an abomination to God. Yet anyone who condemns somebody that's just or tries to punish somebody that's innocent is absolutely an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 17:15. So people we see who have committed heinous crimes, repeatedly have a long rap sheet for many years, are being set free to go hurt other people. So the foundations and justice is not being meted out. Injustice is prospering. This, my friends, is the judgment of God on a nation, and in this case, the nation of the United States of America. Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, where shall the righteous stand? Well, they'll have no place to stand. And was this not the case in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost? So as we come in for a landing, let me introduce a question to you. Could it be, or would you be willing to pray, Lord, put me where you want on your planet. I'm all yours, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. After Jesus had risen from the dead, having accomplished redemption, the church at Jerusalem, where the church was born on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, where God poured out his Holy Spirit, and 3,000 and then 5,000 people were saved who had gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world, then the church became complacent. And we have where Stephen is being slain in the end of Acts 7. And then we have in the beginning of what's on record in Acts chapter 8, where we see that persecution had hit Jerusalem, where the saints of Christ after Pentecost were concentrated. Saul was consenting to Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2, Acts 8, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him, speaking of the persecution. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in to every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prisons. So Saul, who later became Paul, but not yet, was going house to house, him and his hordes, and arresting people for being Christians. They were being persecuted immensely in Jerusalem. And then in verse 4, we see, therefore, it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So the apostles remained in Jerusalem, but all the other Christians were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the word. And so we know by this statement that the apostles, the elders of Christ, had prepared and equipped the saints for the work of the ministry. And they went everywhere preaching the word. And some would say, and I'd have to agree, that it was God scattering the church and allowing persecution in order to get his gospel to the ends of the earth. And one writer notes the following on this matter. Acts chapter 8, he says, takes place around 31 to 34 AD, shortly after the stoning of Stephen. The chapter marks a major turning point in the early church, transitioning the focus from Jerusalem to the broader regions of Judea, Samaria, and beyond. The events unfold in a chronological sequence of three primary narratives. The first is the scattering abroad of the church. Following Stephen's execution, martyrdom, a young Pharisee named Saul initiates a severe persecution of the Jerusalem church. He forcibly enters homes, dragging away believers to prison. As a result, the church scatters throughout Judea and Samaria. However, wherever these believers go, they continue to preach the gospel. Amen. Are you doing that, my friend? Are you preaching the gospel? I'll leave that as a rhetorical question. Also, he says, Philip's ministry to Samaria is what began at the scattering abroad of the saints out of Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In order to go, you got to get up from where you are and transport yourself to another place. Could God, in his perfect will, be quickening you, my friend, to pray, Lord, put me on your planet where I can be the most effective, the most fruitful for your eternal glory. Amen. So he says this, Philip, one of the seven appointed to care for the widows, one of the first seven deacons there in Acts 6, travels to a city of Samaria. He performs miraculous signs and preaches the gospel, bringing great joy to the city. among the converts is a local sorcerer named Simon, who was baptized. Apostles Peter and John soon joined Philip, so the Samaritan believers can receive the Holy Ghost. They can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When Simon attempts to buy the spiritual power of God, the gift of the Holy Ghost, with money, Peter harshly rebukes him and urges him to repent. Okay, and number three of the chronological sequence that unfolded after the believers, the disciples of Christ, were scattered from Jerusalem is this. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in about 33 AD, an angel directs Philip to leave Samaria and travel south along the road leading down to Gaza. There he meets a high-ranking Ethiopian official, a eunuch. As an angel directs Philip to leave Samaria and travel south, he meets a eunuch of Ethiopia, a treasurer for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. The official is reading from the book of Isaiah but needs guidance. Philip explains the scriptures, preaching the good news of Jesus. The official, the Ethiopian eunuch who is an official, believes and is baptized on the spot. Immediately after, the Holy Spirit miraculously transports Philip to continue the ministry of Christ, preaching the gospel, in another coastal city named Azotus, which is 40 miles away. This further demonstrates how God was getting the now trained and equipped body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ that were concentrated in Jerusalem, to be scattered all over the earth to preach his gospel to every creature. And the writer continues in this synopsis of what happened and what unfolded as the disciples of Jesus, which made up thousands of people, were scattered abroad out of Jerusalem when persecution hit. Is that what God's doing in America? I have to think, according to his pattern, as we're seeing right here in Acts 8, that's exactly what he's doing. And he's speaking to the hearts of his people who will repent afresh and will say, Lord, here I am, send me, like Isaiah 6. So he continues, this chapter is crucial in biblical history as it fulfills the prophecy of Acts 1:8, demonstrating that the gospel was meant not just for the Jews, but for Samaritans and Gentiles alike. Amen. Unquote. Okay, as we close, perhaps a bit of food for thought, saints. Jesus commands us to go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. Now, perhaps, as was the case with Jerusalem in Acts 8, perhaps God is allowing judgment to fall on the nation of the United States of America. It seems apparent that God is allowing judgment to fall on America, and justly so. And he is perhaps quickening people. I'm going to leave it as a perhaps right now, but I would think definitively that according to as he works, as we see in Acts 8, he is going to scatter, and he already is scattering abroad his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. America, remember friends, is one dot on the map. There are so many people, such as is the case with Latin America, that are hungry to hear the gospel and have never heard the gospel. One evangelist once said, and I agree, no one in the world deserves to hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard it once. Also, remember, didn't God call Father Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land he didn't even know existed? That's what we read in Genesis chapter 11 and 12. Notice Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises and having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And that flies in the face of, I'm an American. I live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. Well, okay. If that's where your pride and identity is, you're in need of repentance. We are strangers. True disciples of Jesus are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Their allegiance is to God, not to man or man's corporations. They call countries like the United States of America, which is a corporation. And it may be wise to let that sink in. Corporations only exist to make money. And of course, that would be at the expense of their prey, the people that they exploit to make that money. He continues, verse 14, Hebrews 11. For they that say such declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city, unquote. That's the New Jerusalem, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. So perhaps we simply don't get it yet. We think with pride, we internalize this idea that I was born here and that I will die here, unquote. But Thomas was scattered abroad, eventually, one of the 12 apostles of Jesus,
to go and to preach and teach the word of God, the gospel of Jesus.
And he was martyred in India. John was on the Isle of Patmos, etc. They went into all the world. So did all of the believers at Jerusalem as they were scattered abroad at the persecution. And I believe God is sending forth his people out of the United States of America so that they can be fruitful for his eternal glory.
In this final hour before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Remember, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, let me encourage you, friend, to go before the Lord and pray and to ask the Lord to put you on his planet where he wants you. In fact, let's pray together right now, saints, as we close. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to use us mightily in this final hour before your return, Jesus. Holy Father, I come to you now afresh in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am saved, asking you to strip and to cleanse every trace of deceit, pride, self-righteousness,
and all evil and deceit, and also rebellion, stubbornness, obstinance, and witchcraft. Please wash me and strip those things
from my heart and life. Please make me your ambassador, a vessel unto honor, purified and cleansed, a cleansed vessel prepared for your eternal glory.
Lord, please
make me to be a consummate soul winner who also faithfully feeds your flock to nourish and to see you cause them to grow in your knowledge and grace in Christ and to be rooted and grounded in Jesus. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.